Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:37, and that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is June 9th. And the ECB started buying bonds today, and they're buying junk bonds. So it really is an indication that they're willing to do whatever it takes. And they have little choice, but because there isn't that many bonds to buy in the EU relative to, for example, the USA, the corporate bond market is not as mature. And that is on top of the fact that you don't have the same equity culture in the Eurozone as you do, for example, in the USA or indeed the UK, that the majority of people own bonds, that a lot of the pension funds are exclusively in bonds. And then because they are passive holders, they don't generally trade them all that much. But of course, the fact that you have negative interest rates makes... we have to, for anyone at all who is still valuing bonds on a yield to maturity basis, makes a nonsense of it. Because you are going to get back, if you're buying bonds today at a negative yield, you're going to get back less than you invested. And that's an absolute guarantee. But of course, there is another way of thinking about it. If you're buying a bond that is trading at, say, 166, or let's just take a good example. The German Bund is trading at 164.5, 3 basis points on a yield basis. And you buy the bond at that price, and then you are going to mature it at parity. Well, you're not going to get much of your money back. So the only way to characterize this is as a momentum move. And obviously, just like any other momentum move, it is going to persist for as long as it persists and as long as there are new buyers coming into the market. And with the ECB acting as a stopgap, then the chances of it persisting are quite high. But we're getting an increasing situation where there are massively disruptive influences on the bond markets. And just about all of the bond indices or the bond futures were in positive territory today, and not in a dynamic fashion, but they certainly were stronger. And against that background, you have some very large hitters in the bond markets, like Bill Gross at Jane Capital. You've got George Soros coming back into the trading environment at the age of 85. And I guess more power to him. But you have some very large managers within the bond markets saying that this is all going to end in tears. And then this is a momentum move. So if this were a stock market, we would consider it a bubble, where you have learned people saying that valuations are getting crazy, and yet the momentum is continuing to push yields lower and prices higher. That would be characterized as the bubble phase. So it is no exaggeration at all to suggest that this is a bubble in bonds, particularly in sovereign bonds, and that when it eventually ends, it is going to cause all kinds of trouble, not least because the bond markets are orders of magnitude larger than the equity markets. And if we turn to the equity markets, then the S&P 500 was quite a bit lower, but it finished only down 3 on the day. The Dow was only down less than 20 points, and the NASDAQ was only down 16. So this is still a very orderly consolidation right at the upper side of their respective ranges. And we do know from the chart seminar that a range is an explosion waiting to happen. And the market has been, particularly the S&P 500, has been ranging for a year and a half already, and that if it and an explosion can happen either up or down, and we're right at the upper side of the range, so a clear downward dynamic would be required to confirm resistance in this area. And it did look like we were going to get that earlier on today, but that was not to be the case. And then you have to look at the breadth of this recovery, and not least the Russell 2000, and that has staged a better bounce back than the S&P. And then look at some of the leading shares. If you look at the best performers on the S&P 500 this year, of the top 10, 7 are in the energy sector or in the resources sector generally. And the three that are outliers are, one of them is NVIDIA, which is, I guess, perhaps the best way to categorize it would be that it is a pure play on virtual reality, and that is accelerating higher. And valuations are not at the same eye-watering level that prices are, but it is most certainly accelerating higher, and Amazon has done incredibly well also this year. And then Wynn Resorts is also in that top 10, but doesn't have the same consistency to its trend, or medium-term trend at least, that NVIDIA had. Then, if the bond markets are in a bubble, and they are simply being loaned into existence and done so with alacrity, and despite the fact that Mario Draghi upbraided the governments of the EU for not doing more on the fiscal front, well, the reality is that it's an easy scapegoat to blame the EU for anything at all, and every country in the EU does the same thing. They blame the EU for imposing regulations that they perhaps wouldn't like to take the rap for. It happens in France, it happens in Germany, happens certainly in Ireland, and then there is obviously this very heated debate continuing to go on in the UK. But the net result is that governments have, in no small part, relegated their responsibility, or excuse me, delegated the responsibility to the ECB, and the ECB is doing all that it can in that it is just issuing euros and buying up these bonds left and right, and they're willing to buy just about anything at all. Well, if that's the case, and this is currency debasement, then is it any wonder that gold prices continue to firm? So gold was up by about just less than $7 today, and silver was up about almost 30 cents. This continues to be a really quite impressive rebound, having completed a mean reversion for both gold and silver. And platinum was down a bit in here today, but not really in a dynamic fashion. It's down 7. And there are issues in the industrial side of the demand cycle for platinum because of electric vehicles not needing catalytic converters. So platinum is not as bullish a story as either gold or silver. But gold and silver do continue to rebound in here. And I think that people are beginning to become galvanized in the view that this is an insurance policy, and it is a currency that cannot simply be loaned into existence, and it might not pay a yield, but not getting any yield is certainly better than having to pay a yield. Then that is perhaps the most compelling argument, and the fact that prices are coming off relatively depressed levels, and that we had been through a lengthy bear market, gives ample potential for additional upside in here without the sector becoming overvalued. And it isn't just the precious metals here, but the soft commodity sector took a little bit of a breather in here today, and coffee in particular pulled back sharply from its highs. And then it will be very interesting to see exactly where can it find support, having just surged higher. But the sugar price is still very firm. Orange juice is at the upper side of its range. Soybeans continues to extend its advance. It was pretty much unchanged in here today, but it has been very firm all along. And lumber was up its limit, and it continues to hold this progression of higher reaction lows. And natural gas up 12 cents. And this continues to look like a really quite an impressive rebound. So oil prices, which have now broken above $50, were a little bit easier in here today, but nothing in the way of a downward dynamic. So I don't think anybody's going to be particularly worried about oil prices until we see a reaction of greater than $7 now. And with everything that's going on in Europe, in particular with bond buying, then the euro was a little bit weaker in here today. It was down 76 ticks. And the pound was down a little bit as well. And by and large, it was a stronger day for the dollar. And then that is particularly interesting since the precious metals continue to be firm despite the fact that the dollar has been rallying today. And then is this more of a dollar bull story, or is it more that it's a euro bearish story? And I suspect that it's more to do with euro bearishness rather than any particular dollar bullishness. And a point that I've been making in the audios for at least the last couple of months is that one really does have to look at the dollar against a whole basket of different currencies because its performance is quite different versus the commodity producing currencies than it is against a serial debtors like the yen and the EU. And of course, that's not to say that the USA is not a serial debtor. Of course it is, but they're not printing any longer, and both Europe and Japan are. And then when we just take a step back and look at what it is that's happening out there, then by and large, Asia was a little bit softer in here today, and the Nikkei was down about 1%. But when we look at how things are shaping up with Wall Street right at the upper side of its range, this is a particularly relevant time to be just looking at these indices and keeping a very close eye, because if we do get a breakout, then it's going to be a very large question whether that breakout can be sustained. And I think that after a year and a half of ranging, then there's a lot of people who have already exited the market. There's a lot of people who have been building up positions. There's a lot of people who've been looking at momentum and waiting for the breakout up or down. And I think that if we do break out, then that could be the beginning of the third psychological perception stage, the bubble phase of what has already been a 7-year bull market. So this is, I think, a very important phase to watch. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.